first discipline that we covered, and we think it's logically the beginning, is Bible saturation. By the way, when we taught this, we used, what was the object lesson we used? The sponge, right? It's kind of, we need to be a sponge in different ways, and we had different illustrations. I'm ignoring all of that today because of time. There's just absolutely no way. I do have 10 pages of notes for the full of everything, that I'm ignoring those for now. Marv's like, get on with it. Let's do this. Okay? So, but anyway, that's how much information is there after you cut out all the review and stuff. That's all there. So it's Bible saturation. Bible saturation involves five practices that are involved in how do you become saturated with the Bible. Okay? Pastors don't do bubbles. And dads don't either. Okay. Number one. Bible. It starts out very basic, but Bible reading. Bible reading. Kids, the word is reading in your notes. Anyone not have notes? Where's the notes? Where's the notes? Josh has a bunch of notes. Here, hand them to me. Anyone else? Notes? It's like, if you don't have notes, you're either not at Northridge or you got missed, okay? Because we hand out notes for everything. Anyone else? All right. Notice here, and we have key words, but why do you read the Bible? You read the Bible for the key word is familiarization. You get to know what's there, okay? Knowing what the Bible says is how we said it. Okay? How much of the Bible did we cover this morning in the morning gathering? I mean, realistically. We covered part of verse 9 of John chapter 1. Kind of. What does that imply? And I don't care how fast of a preacher you are. You have to be really good if you're preaching chapters at a time, because you have to understand the details before you can put them all together. I don't see how people do it, actually, unless they've already preached it through in detail first. But what does that imply? It takes time, and also we will run out of before we cover. Okay, when's the last time we did a series in Habakkuk? How about Micah? How about 3 John? How about Luke? How many chapters in Luke? 24. The first chapter has 70-some verses in it. Let's go verse by verse there. And we'll be all in glory, and we'll be to chapter 12. Okay? But then Jesus will be preaching. You get why have bad people preach it. Okay? There's just no way to get it all. There's no time. I know I mentioned before, J. Vernon McGee preached it in 5 years over the radio. If you ever listened to him, it was great. But it's like, gotta move on. Can't park here. Can't study this and be, you know, it's just moving on. And that took him 5 years every day through the Bible radio. If I don't know if you remember that. So, and that was every day. Multiply that by Sundays, and you're talking, how long would that take? If it's 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, multiply that out, how many years that would take from the pulpit once a week? You'd have to go through several pastors to get that far, okay? It takes that long. And then it's only a brief overview. If you look at J. Vernon McGee's commentaries, there's five commentaries, and they're like all together. They're like this wide. It's like I've got a set on Ephesians that's this wide. Okay. So I mean, you can dig into details there. So, but Bible reading, it helps you know what the Bible says. There is, and I'll say this: if you only take one thing from all of my life of teaching, anything at all, you will do more for yourself by reading through the Bible regularly than any other thing you can do for yourself spiritually. I honestly believe that. Because guess what? How many times do you come to church? Come to church. That sounds so theologically wrong, but you get the idea. How often do you come together to listen to the Word of God taught? Once a week, twice a week? You know, we get a couple sessions or whatever. That isn't going to do it. Okay? You need to read through all the time. The Bible says you're to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Okay? There's two parts of Bible reading. And I put them as A and B. Okay? One A. And I'm trying to think what your notes look like. But the word is public. Public Bible reading. What do we mean by that? Reading the Bible out loud in a group setting. Okay? The Bible seems to talk about that. Partly because back when, people didn't have copies of the Bible. You understand that, right? Most people throughout history have never had what you have that you carry around every day. Or could. Or even now, you have electronic stuff. Yeah, I have more stuff in my phone here than most of you have in your whole house. Trust me. You know, like MacArthur's commentary set. You know, I don't know how long it is on the show. It's there. You know, kind of stuff. All kinds of things, all right? You can carry it now. It's just amazing what we can carry with us and access and look at. So people needed to read it out, but also, too, that was part of their focus. And we tried to do it some, and it's still hard to work that in because, what, people get too antsy. They don't want to spend time because they got things to do, right? Lunch, you know, then what? I don't know. Okay. Matthew 22:29 is a key verse of this. Jesus answered and said to them, and this ties in with the word familiarization, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." You would know more about this if you were reading through the Bible regularly. Okay? He was telling that to the religious leaders. Nehemiah 8:8, we pulled some things out of Nehemiah, but we are to pay attention with our ears. One of the parts of reading out loud is to learn to pay attention. Okay? Most of us in our culture can't pay attention because we always have things going on. We're overstimulated. And that is to our detriment. You know, the radio, the TV, the audio, you know, whatever the case might be, it keeps us from thinking, keeps us from paying attention. But we need to pay attention with our ears, and the Bible talks about it in detail. We're skipping all that. This would include being quiet and thinking about what is being read, to be able to concentrate when someone is reading something. Nehemiah 8:8, so they read distinctly from the book, in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. It's interesting that they said they read distinctly from the book. We need to learn to read and read clearly. So it's a skill of the voice even to be able to read out loud. Okay? Like being able to read out loud, like Ethan said his parts the other day. Very distinct, very understandable, very clear. Okay, you could hear what he was saying. So Bible reading, the public reading, but there's also 1B, personal reading. Okay? And again, by the way, there's all kinds of talk about public reading. Okay? So we've only looked at a little tiny bit. So if you want to see it, go to the internet, get that. Or if you need it in another way, let me know and we'll get it to you if you don't have access to the internet. Personal reading. Personal reading. What is personal? Reading the Bible each day for ourselves. Now we looked at Deuteronomy 17, and I put this in here, one of the many passages, but it says, this is what the requirement for the king of Israel. Okay? Got this? Read this with me carefully. I'll read it out loud. You just follow along. Also, you can practice paying attention, right? And I'll practice reading clearly. Also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he being the king of Israel, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that this heart, that his heart may not be lifted up. See, I'm not reading clearly, am I? Inaccurate. That his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. What does it say reading the Bible every day does for you? If it does it for the king of Israel, by the way, he couldn't go out to the Christian bookstore and buy a copy or order one from Amazon. What did he have to do? He had to write his own copy. Will that not make you think about that? What you're writing? We listed a bunch here. What does this do? It allows you to know God. The king would learn to fear the Lord his God. How? By reading the Bible every day. Do you want to know why people don't, as believers, don't grow, don't change or whatever? They're not in the Word of God. I can tell you that. Because reading the Bible helps you to learn to fear the Lord. It also helps you to know God's commands. The king would be able to who edited this? The king would be able to obey the commands of God. How did I get that in there? It says here to be careful to observe. So careful to be careful to obey the commands of God. How do you obey God if you don't know what he says? Right? Does that make sense? How do you obey God if you don't know what he says? Also, reading the Bible every day helps you to keep a right view of yourself. Do you have an understanding that you will raise yourself up above God? It's called pride. And you will say, whether you say it or not, you will function with the fact that I don't need God. Reading the Bible every day will help you understand that you desperately need God. The king would be able to keep from becoming proud, to keep from disobeying. The king would be helped to keep from disobeying God and to get the blessing of God. The king would be a king for a long time and have a long kingdom. Now, the Bible calls this a kingdom of priests. Elsewhere, we're going to rule as kings and priests. So don't discard that. But if these things will work, everyone here needs to learn how to fear the Lord. Everyone here needs to know what the Lord says. Okay, all these things. Nothing is applicable just to a king. It was absolutely essential for a king to do this in order to have this. Because there was no way for them to have a Bible. It was just impractical. But you have one. Or 10. All right? So it's not an issue there. Reading the Bible each day for ourselves. There's nothing you can do that will be more spiritually impacting in your life than to do this. To read the Bible every day for yourself. And read it through. I'm not talking about spot checking. I'm talking about reading through. And there's lots of different options about how to do that. You can start from Genesis 1:1 and go to Revelation 22 and read it from start to finish. Or you can jump back and forth. That's fine. But I would encourage you to read through books of the Bible at one time without stopping. You know, I mean, read Genesis 1 the first day, Genesis 2 the next day, all the way till you're done with Genesis. I wouldn't read Genesis 1, then go to Psalm 2 and bounce around that way because you don't get the flow. But I would encourage you at the very minimum, read at least a chapter a day. That'll take you a little over 3 years to read through the Bible. If you can, develop the process. It takes about 15 minutes a day to read through the entire Bible every year. I'm a slow reader. It takes me a little bit longer. But that's why I encourage you to at least one chapter a day. It'll take you every 3 years to start over. However you do that. And I'd encourage you to do it every year if you can. Because of these very reasons. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you know this? That the Bible helps us to know what is really in our heart? Do you believe what the Bible says? That he says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked? That you will talk yourself into all kinds of things that are not true and are not holy? And the Word of God will help you understand what is true and holy? The Bible helps us also to evaluate our thoughts rightly. It says the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you know that you don't even know why you do what you do? You'll talk to yourself and say, oh, this is a good thing, this is the right thing, because whatever. And the Bible will say, ah, you're doing this for you, not for God. Okay? The intent of the heart. So we need to read the Bible publicly and personally, and personally every day. Okay? We'll get into that more in another verse that says it even more. So we have Bible reading, personal and public. Number two. We're almost to the back side already, okay? Bible. We call this feeding. And we'll even write it rightly if we can do that. Feeding. Okay, Bible feeding. This reading is familiarization, is what does the Bible say? You know, we know what it says. Number two is feeding. It's learning what the Bible means. Do I have that stuff filled in? Do you have to fill?
No, just the word feeding.
Okay, very good. I tried to cut it down as much as I could. Learning what the Bible means. Okay, knowing what the Bible says, learning what the Bible means. We need people to teach us. So you're doing that part right now. Okay? Nehemiah 8:8. So they read distinctly from the book of in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Okay? And I have Ephesians 4:11-16 there. And I'll just quote part of it. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to the edifying of the body of Christ. It means that we can't understand it all on our own. Now, I know the Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. We talked about all this morning. And all that. But it seems to be that we need to be taught to observe all things, right? Great Commission. God gave us pastors and teachers to help us understand the Word of God. It seems like we can't do it all on our own. Okay? Backside. Just a quick list here. We need people to teach us, the feeding, to inform us, to transform us, to equip us for the work of ministry, right? Ministry work. To edify us, to build us up, and to mature us. Those probably all fit together in one circle. They're not exclusive, okay? If you're edifying or being equipped, you're also maturing. But so you won't be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, right? That's in Ephesians 4. So we need to be taught. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 that people will not what? Endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers. It doesn't mean they aren't listening. In fact, it sounds like they're overwhelming themselves with teachers, but it's doing little good. Okay? They get distracted. That's why I'm a firm believer in the local church and the teaching ministry of the local church. If you all these books you read and the radio speakers you can listen to and all that, do you become more spiritual by hearing that much more? I would say that it's just the opposite, that it takes steady focus in order to bear fruit from what you hear. Okay? It takes a process of time to develop discipline, develop understanding, all that. If you're constantly, and I use this in a fanciful way, but if you're romping through Romans or flying through Philippians or whatever, are you getting anything out of it? Okay, that's the idea. Now, there's a place for the overview. I have my 12-point overview. Remember that? That we do. That's to give you a big picture. You can do overviews of books, all that. That's the whole Bible, and we can do that in 10 minutes or 20 weeks. You know, the idea that there's room for an overview, but it doesn't give you the same thing. And when you're mashing through Matthew, I don't know, leaping through Luke or whatever, are you really getting what it means if you're bouncing over it? Especially like you see in John, how tough it can be. Okay? So, number two is Bible feeding. Number three, Bible treasuring. Bible treasuring. Memorization. We have Bible reading is familiarization. What is the Bible? Learning what the Bible says. Feeding is instruction. It's learning what the Bible means. Memorization is saving what the Bible says. And I had it in our hearts or whatever, because the Bible actually uses that terminology, but I had to shrink it down to fit it on the page. But saving what the Bible says. Treasuring it. Okay? Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. I memorized this years ago. I actually wrote a little ditty to go with it too. But let your heart keep my commands. For length of days, long life, and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Memorization. In order to be good at anything, you have to memorize. You have to at least memorize parts of it. Anyone here had to look up how to tie your shoes this morning? I was like, oh, was it rabbit hole, something, you know. You had to memorize, even the basics. How about driving? It's like, okay, how do I make a left turn? You know, you have to memorize that. Even more so, the Christianity, you need to learn things until they're kind of autopilot on a lot of things, because you can't do it that fast. I gave an illustration when I was in jump school years ago, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. It was great, but they jumped out with us, actually. No. First week of jump school is ground week. We climb these steps, and then we're supposed to land. 5 points of contact. Tips your toes, whatever this calf muscle, your thigh, your rear end, and then your shoulder. Okay? 5 points of contact, they call it. And you're supposed to land. All right? That was fine. It was easy. You jump down and boom, 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 boom. Well, then we started doing, you kept going higher and faster, really, in jump school. So then they put us on like a cable that we're supposed to hold on to. And we're, you know, it's kind of a slight slope. And then the instructor would say, drop! And you had to, boop, 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 boop. And I'm like thinking, I get down on some, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I kept wiping out. And it's like, I get to one, two, blah, crash. Okay? And I went, I can't do it. I can't get all five before I'm pounded into the ground. He goes, oh, no, 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 no. This has got to be automatic. It's like one movement, not five movements. It's one movement. And it's all kind of automatic. You just do that. I was like, I'm like one, two, three. I'm trying to, you know, step through it. And he goes, no, it's got to be a memorized action of your body. So then if you're going backwards or forwards, it's just boom. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden I got it. Okay, it has to be kind of automatic. You have to learn things till they become automatic. All right, so that's a key part of treasuring. As you get it in your head, you will start thinking like God when you have God's thoughts in your mind. You will start doing what God wants you to do when you understand and memorize what God wants you to do. You cannot do otherwise. You have to have it in your heart. Now, maybe it's not verbatim, but let me tell you, words even make a difference. So verbatim is a good idea if you can. But you have to get the concept down for sure to understand what's right and wrong, what's true and false, what's good and bad, what God wants you to do rather than what the world wants you to do, etc., etc., okay? So Bible treasuring. Treasure the Word. Placing it in one's heart as a valuable for safekeeping is the idea, but it's there for God to use. And it's the light that helps you navigate life, okay? You have to have it in your mind. You have to have it in your heart in order to use it. I shared one other time I was at school. I've shared this many times because it hit home for me. But we had just gotten a doctrine paper back here in 2 and 4, right? I don't know which doctrine class it was, but I was sitting next to my buddy Mark. Mark was a cool guy. I liked him. He helped run the print shop at Faith for a while. And that's what he grew up doing. His parents owned a print shop. But he just was not good at tests. And he said he got like a D from Dr. Kober. You know, And he goes, he was frustrated. He goes, it don't matter anyway. I'll just stick all this stuff in my file. And then if someone has a question, I'll just go to my file. And I'm like, me being the shy, timid person that I am, Mark was my friend. I said, Mark, everything you learn here has practical implications for the rest of your life. It's not to answer a doctrine question. It's to live your life by. I think it might have been Doctrine 1, which is like the doctrine of God and things like that. You know, it's different. If you understand that God knows and controls everything, then when you hit the brick wall of life, you realize that God allowed you to go through that rather than got caught off guard because he wasn't paying attention. It's huge. It makes all the difference. I said, everything that you study here has impact in every day of your life. So you need to learn it. Maybe you can't regurgitate it on a test. Who cares? But you have to know it because it is how you live. You live based upon how you understand the Bible. You live on the things you understand about God or Jesus or salvation. All of that has to do with how you live. Memorization has a lot to do with that. Number 4. I had to look down to see how to make a number 4. Did you notice that? I call this Bible deepening. This one basically has to come after number 3. These really come first. Bible reading, Bible feeding, Bible treasuring really has to happen before Bible deepening comes. Bible deepening is meditation. Bible deepening is meditation. It's thinking about what the Bible says. Okay? I know what the Bible says. I'm reading through the Bible. I'm learning what the Bible means. I'm under instruction of God's chosen but faulty leaders. Okay? I'm treasuring the Bible in my heart. I save what the Bible says in my heart. And now I'm thinking about what the Bible says on an ongoing basis. How are you at driving while you're reading your Bible? It's not quite as bad as texting, is it? People can't even talk on the phone right while they're driving. Have you noticed? Okay. There's no way. The Bible doesn't ask you to read your Bible while you're driving your chariot or your camel or whatever the case may be. You have to have it in there, but guess what? You put it in your heart, you can think about it all the time. And the Bible commands you to meditate. Fair? Is that a fair statement? It's not an option, so that means this isn't an option then, which means these aren't options. How does that work? Why? Because God wants us to follow Christ, and this is what it takes. It's part of it. Bible deepening, Joshua 1:8. We wrote a song for this one. Remember, We are not going to sing it right now for sake of time. But this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it occasionally on Sundays. So it says, mine neither. It says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may, why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Where else does it command you to do that? Psalm 1, one of my favorite passages of all time. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's saying no to many things. But the Bible goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Which pretty much takes up everything, doesn't it? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Oh, fruitfulness comes from this. Not from random actions. Purposeful actions, okay? Meditating and saying it over and over and keeping it in your mind, you're mulling it over, you're chewing on it. And that happens in many different ways. Hopefully you'll take some of what we talked about today and meditate on it, but maybe what you're reading in your Bible will do that as well. It's like, oh, you're thinking about it throughout the day and how it relates, how life looks from God's perspective rather than our own perspective, right? Because Kevin's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, right? All that kind of stuff is true. Okay, last one here. These all go together. You do all these. Bible, keeping. You might call this application. Doing what the Bible says. Doing what the Bible says. Again, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, that you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? I have it underlined there. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Okay? We're not learning to know stuff. Remember my friend Mark, it wasn't so you know it. It was learning so you do it. So you understand that God is holy, that impacts the way I look at sin. You know, whatever the case, no matter what it is, it's there. Several points here. The Word is to be the central focus of our lives, not but the focus. If we are to meditate on the Word day and night, we are to focus on it all the time. That is the filter in which we look at all of life. That is the filter in which we process all the information. That is the filter by which we make any decisions. That is the filter by which we see things. It's, God, what do you say is true? Because I come to wrong conclusions on my own. The Word requires familiarization, instruction, memorization, meditation, and application. And you might want to underline this in your notes. Nothing is automatic. It's a discipline. It's something that we need to choose to do, and some of it is choosing not to do other things. You have to say no to a lot to walk with God. Do you know that? Jesus called it something about taking up a cross or something. Okay? It's saying no to a lot of what you want to do what you should do, that brings the most glory to God, the most fruit, and the best impact to other people. The purpose of meditating day and night is to enable us to do what the Word of God says, not just to know it. It helps us to understand how to put it to practice. You can't really keep it till you understand it and how it even fits. Okay, a lot of people say, oh, Pastor didn't apply it to my life. And it's like, what do you do? What's your job? Okay, you have to think about it. You have to look. I don't follow you around. You have to chew on the Word of God, meditate on it, and say, ah, what that guy said there kind of fits here. Ah, yeah. And it wouldn't be my life. It would be yours. We are to observe the entire word as it applies to us, not a smorgasbord. We don't pick and choose what we want from the Bible. Okay? It isn't, I like this one, but I don't like this. So I'll ignore that and I'll embrace this. The entire word of God. We're to meditate on the word day and night, not my favorite verse. Now, you can meditate on your favorite verse, but don't limit it to your favorite verse. By the way, that's why reading through the Bible helps you to meditate, even because you're constantly focusing on it. I'm a Leviticus. I started a 9-month through the Bible thing. I told you I was out of whack. So I finished through the year at the end of March. I'm going a little faster right now. It's straight through. It's like drinking the Mississippi River. Now I'm in Leviticus, you know, the sockets of silver. You know, and I'm like, how does that apply to my life? You know, but anyway, it's still the idea is it's I'm to read through the entire thing, not just pick my little favorites. We receive a blessing from God as defined by God, not us or the world, when we obey the word of God. You'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You'll be blessed. You'll be prosperous in what you do. You'll have good success as defined by God, not the world. That's our caveat, if you will, because the world says, oh, if you are powerful, then you're blessed. If you have lots of money, then you're blessed. And God says, no. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you'd be the servant of all. It's completely different than what the world sees it as. You know, no one knows your name, but God knows who you are, and he'll reward you abundantly. The Bible's clear on that. Bible keeping, we've already mentioned this, but it's teaching them, these disciples, making disciples, you baptize them, teaching them to observe all things. Not know all things, but to what? Do all things, right? A lot of people say, well, there's no commandments in the New Testament. What is this all about then? Jesus must have not known that because he says, observe all things that I've commanded you. It's like there's all kinds of commands that we as believers are responsible to obey Jesus Christ as his follower. Okay? So read the Bible and you'll see that, oh, that God does command us to do things. So we just covered 7 weeks. How did we do? Bible reading, public, with other people. Personally, I encourage you through the Bible, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is what? Required. There's been people that have never been able to read or never had a copy of the Word of God. All they had was whatever they could memorize that someone passed on or whatever. You have it. So I believe God holds us to a higher standard. By the way, you don't have to go down to the river to wash clothes, or you don't have to hay the horse, or you know all that kind of stuff. Life is a lot easier, so please don't use busy life as an excuse. Use the fact that you can choose what you want to do as a motivation to read the Word of God. You have a choice. You have a choice, okay? Bible reading, Bible feeding. You're here learning. This guy never reads. Okay, you're learning, but the Bible calls it too, and please understand, it's enduring sound doctrine. It sounds like it is a little tough to sit. It's a little tough to listen. But it doesn't make it bad to do that. That's part of it, okay? We need to have someone explain the Word of God, and I believe God gifts some to do that out of his sense of humor more than anything, and I don't say that even tongue-in-cheek. Not many noble, not many what? Wise are called, and I feel like I landed on the, you know, not in that group, but outside that group, okay? Bible treasuring, memorizing the Word of God, memorizing things you're taught. We're to treasure them in our hearts over and over. Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Yeah, all over and over. Bible deepening, we're to meditate in the Word day and night. It's not supposed to be a piece of our life. It's supposed to encompass our life 24/7. It's not 5 minutes a morning and 5 minutes a night. The idea is we're supposed to see life through God's eyes, meditating on the Word. And then we're supposed to put it to practice. And you really need to understand the Word of God before you can do that. And that comes from doing these others. It's faulty. It's piecemeal. But that's what we do. We practice it. We put it to practice as we learn it. So. Questions or comments? Sir.
Do
basically converting that not only to a depth of understanding, but motivation, action, and satisfaction, and feeding off of that.
Yeah.
The incorporation of all of those things.
Yeah, I like your cause and effect statement, too. You get what you work toward. Christian life does not happen without intent. But yeah, it's a cycle. And you get the satisfaction. That satisfaction, they say salvation costs you nothing, but discipleship costs you everything. Okay, the Christian walk is a difficult walk. And God the Son, Jesus, told you that. It would be difficult. In the world, Paul said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, you know, Jesus says. So it's hard. It's the hard path, but it's the right path. It's a good path. It's the eternal path. It's the people impacting for eternity path that makes a difference. So, all right, let's stand and close in prayer. Thanks for your endurance. Yeah, that was 7 weeks. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to be people that are saturated by your word. Lord, we might be overwhelmed by our responsibilities of any given day, but Lord, help us to understand that our very root responsibility is to walk with you. And to walk with you ultimately is to be in your word, to read through it so that we can know what it says. And Lord, just to be learning and growing and memorizing and meditating so that we can obey you. And Lord, truly enjoy spiritual fruit and eternal satisfaction. I thank you for each person here and their patient endurance of teaching. And I pray that you would just grow them into mighty workers for you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.